5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. Joined across the glass over there is Angel. Great to have him on board this week. You've just done a fantastic job. And joining me in studio, just sticking around, Clark Johnson, the voice of Preps Radio. 13 days, 13 teams has been amazing, off the chain. You've done a fantastic job with that. What have you learned?
I appreciate that. I've learned a lot about different teams.
And who's the best team right now? Just not even talking 2A through
best.
Everything.
I'm not going to talk who's going to go win a title, but I am going to say as far as teams that are on the move and teams and programs that are really moving up, and I've said this a bunch, Northridge. I would go Jeremy Hayden. They won 7 games for the first time in 12 years last year. They have everybody coming back, but it's a studly conference with Roosevelt in there, Severance, and Resurrection Christian coming over from the 2A ranks into 3A. How will they do? I think it's a really interesting conference, and I think Northridge is a team. That's the team I'm going to kind of look at this year. Of course, you've got Eaton. How about Eaton going for a three-peat in football and baseball in the same year?
It's
crazy.
The Eaton Reds fans are just spoiled rotten, man.
Wow.
I mean, they always win stuff. All the time.
Tough.
And they have NFL players. I mean, it's just crazy, dude.
It doesn't make any sense. For the size of the pool they're reaching from, it doesn't make any sense in the world that this school, except when you go to Steve Longwell, the AD, and put the figure out the staffs that he's had there.
Is it Steve Longwell? Is there some? Because I met this guy. He's a great guy. Is it him? Does he just know who to hire?
Yeah, he's made the right picks. I mean, look at it. Every single sport has, for the most part, had long-term coaches and great success. And they're one of those schools that the 8- and 9-year-olds, they're in touch with those kids growing up. Club teams, every sport, you know, and it's those kids on Friday night or Saturday night or whenever the high school teams are playing, those stands are loaded with those kids going, boy, oh boy, I can't wait for the day that I get to wear the pinstripes.
Well, and if you want to go back and listen to any of the podcasts from all of the preseason coverage for these teams, check it out at 1310kfk.com. Last one tonight, but this is more of like a scrimmage mix rather than you just sitting out and doing a 1-hour show. Going to see Severance tonight.
Yeah, we'll see Severance. I'm not sure what we get on the field.
Well, without Tanner Schwint coaching, being an assistant coach there, lost, man.
You know their quarterbacks are going to be better, right? Yeah, so that's a fact. Yeah, Jaden Hoffman, the quarterback for Severance. We'll find out what they get this year. Jeff Van Winkle, such a terrific coach. I mean, one of the best football coaches in the state. So we'll see that tonight. Casey Dawson University, who had a huge year last year, of course. First home game that they had in the playoffs in 37 years. They gave the 2-time defending champ Eaton Reds a run for their money both games last year. So this is a great scrimmage. I don't know what we get tonight. I don't know if I see numbers. I'm going to have a talk show going on with folks from not only...
You seem like that guy is fast.
Yeah. Hey, look at that guy go. He's got the football.
Man,
yeah.
He could be good. Yeah. Don't know. Maybe he's JV.
Don't
possibly.
Know what year he is. That's
well,
right.
I just love, Clark, I love what you've done with the prep scene on KFK. There's nothing like it in the state. I grew up in Eastern Colorado. Prep scene's big there.
Sure.
They always talk to me. They're like, man, we wish we had this kind of thing on our stations down here. It would kill you. The training camp coverage, the game coverage, the show, Clark and the coach. Nothing like that going on in the state. And I know Northern Colorado just appreciates so much having these coaches and players on a daily basis with Clark and the coach. But then these game broadcasts coming in, leading all up to that, it's really great what you've built there.
And we couldn't have done this without you. When you came here, when you took the job as GM here at KFK, it changed the direction of everything we do. And you saw the usefulness of having a great high school sports programming in here.
Just love it.
But and then you put that together with the lineup that we have this right now at KFK, 8 hours of local programming. It's great every day.
Oh, man. And with Good Morning NoCo going 4 hours, Angel's keeping that thing on the trying to keep that thing on the tracks, man.
That's
it's
a tough gig, right?
Got a little out of hand today.
Every single, especially today. I don't know.
So much fun.
Something was in the studio or something.
It's Friday, I guess. We're cooling off a little bit. We're not in the 90s anymore, so that's been fantastic.
Sure has.
Clark, I brought you in. Obviously, we'll always want to talk the Preps football scene. I want to go through that schedule too, man. That is a
dynamite schedule.
It's one of the best that we've put together, I think.
It's crazy. And we got the Canvas Clash.
Oh, can't wait for that.
What is it called?
It's the Canvas Community Clash.
Clash presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
That's right.
They're going to be doing some stuff out there. Two games for you. It'll be a doubleheader. We're trying to set up the day out there, so we'll kind of keep people involved of what we're doing. But you're kind of our Avalanche guy, too. You're our hockey guy. You're a diehard hockey fan.
I am. I've been, and I grew up in a place that really didn't have, I grew up in L.A., Southern California. Used to go watch Marcel Dion, Butch Goring, the Kings. The first time I ever went to a game, I said, that's the greatest sport in the history of mankind. 1977, Philadelphia Flyers coming in, Bobby Clark, Dave Schultz, the Broad Street Bullies come in, play the Kings, and I go. I sat about four seats from the ice on the blue line, and I said, this is the greatest sport of all time. And it's true. If you go in person, great. It's a tough TV sport, but now with everything that's going on in TV, it's way better.
Yeah.
But, hockey's my thing. There's no doubt.
You're a big hockey guy. So our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is, how does the loss of Nazem Kadri impact the Avalanche's chances of going back-to-back Stanley Cup titles? Of course, Kadri signed a 7-year, $49 million deal with Calgary. So, I mean, we knew he was probably gone anyway, but the longer it went, I'll admit, I was wondering, okay, he's not getting exactly what he wants money-wise. Does he come back, take a discount with the Avs, and say, 2% of me was thinking maybe that could still happen. Obviously, that's now shot out the door. Does this severely impact their chances of going back-to-back here?
It's the deepest team in the league, so severely, no. Does it impact it? Yes. Kadri's one of the best offensive forwards in the league. There's no doubt about it. I think the issue here was, the main issue is you got to sign Nate McKinnon.
Yeah.
He's going to be a free agent next year.
Yeah.
And so that money is, it came down to pretty much, do you keep Kadri? Or do you keep the choo-choo train? Do you keep Valerie Nichushkin? And Nichushkin, younger, and my goodness gracious, he just grew up in the playoffs. I mean, the kid was unbelievable. So,
and that's the good thing, I suppose, with the Avs. Like you said, they're so deep that, you know, there's probably two guys on that roster that you would be very sick about losing.
Right.
But the rest, you did say, okay, this is a deep enough team where they should be able to bounce back. So it's... with Kadri being gone, it's a big hit. He was a superstar in this playoffs, too. I mean,
absolutely.
He was right there in the running to be the guy, but obviously you had some really good players throughout the stretch. So you're saying, okay, it impacts it, but I'm not counting the Avs out as far as going back.
They're still the favorite. They're going to be, they're right now, if you look at the betting odds, they're a prohibitive favorite. They're a little under 5-1, and the next team's 8 or 9-1. So, Avalanche, no doubt. If any other team in the league lost a guy like Kadri, I'd say, man, crucial hit. But for the Avs, as I said, they're just so deep. I've never seen a team with this many players in the top four lines, so it should be good. And then we get to talk about Georgiev, the new goaltender coming over. So what does that look like? We'll find out.
Yeah, with losing, kind of a chance, I guess you could say, with the Avs saying, all right, we're fine where we are. We're going to move on from Darcy Kuemper.
Sure, sure.
Some Avs fans hated that, but let's face it, he was average. I mean,
he didn't win the title.
He didn't win the title. No, no. And again, I'm not the biggest hockey guy in the world, but from what I saw, my little brain gathered is their defense was fantastic. They kept those opportunities at bay as far as shots on goal, and that really helped Darcy Kuemper in this process.
You brought up the perfect point, and this is what I think the Avs saw with Georgiev playing behind Shesterkin with the Rangers at New York. Shesterkin, Vezina Cup winner, best goaltender in the I want to go to Vasilevsky for probably best goaltender in the league, but Shesterkin right there, and they started off the year kind of on even terms, and it was Georgiev at the beginning.
So that he was, they kind of thought he was going to be the guy,
and then Shesterkin passes him and has a great year, and Georgiev sits with his talent kind of behind the guy that's getting all the ink. So New York had the option to let him go, kind of like the Avs did when they got Varlamov. Varlamov had sat behind his guy for a while and came in as the kind of unknown. This is what the Avs are hoping here, and we'll see exactly what what that looks like coming up. But my guess is this is the way Joe Sakic does things. He's probably picked another winner.
Well, and what's interesting to me, and I got to put it in terms I can understand here, and you'll appreciate this comparison. It's kind of like the Drew Brees, Philip Rivers situation for Georgiev.
Yep.
You drafted Philip Rivers. Drew Brees was really good.
Absolutely.
He wasn't as good as he became when he was with the Saints, but he was really good. But you liked what you saw in Philip Rivers, mm-hmm. and of course, Rivers went on to do great things. It happens a lot of the times. We see this with quarterbacks, too. So the hope is that you got this guy for a steal. You didn't have to go out and give big-time money for a goalkeeper on this. You're paying about what you would maybe pay a Kemper, but you're kind of there's a gamble here, but you're right. Joe Sakic has been so good at building this team.
Unbelievable.
Varley, you talk about Varley. We kind of thought he was the guy for a moment, and then he fizzled and then goes away, and they're able to recharge and then obviously win a Stanley Cup by piecing the goalkeeping together, essentially.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I love what the Avs did. The offense is, you could live on this offense for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
It's the defense that we need to keep an eye on, and I love the defensive pairings now. You got Cale Makar, who is the guy.
Yes.
You put him with Taves, who was Devon Taves was the most underrated defensive player in the league, plus-minus best player in the league. You get Manson and Girard and Sammy Girard as the second combination there, and I love this because Girard's a little dude. He gets pounded. So you get Manson over there. He's a beast. He's going to take care of his guy. So Girard can headman the puck. He can do what he needs to do. And Manson is there to clean people's clocks. That's just good stuff. And then Bo Byram and EJ on the back end. This is what the Avs need. If the Avs can play great defense in front of Georgiev next year, it's all systems go to another cup.
What I thought was so interesting about the storyline with the Avs, too, we always talk about it. If you get a hot goalie in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yep.
The Avs never had a hot goalie.
Nope.
And again, they didn't even have a consistent goalie. Frankie was in the mix, too. Kemper was in the mix. Injuries, things like that were coming up. And, Kemper would have a terrible game. And our next poll question was, should they pull him out? So you didn't get a hot goalie. So that kind of went against a lot of what we've talked about. So I'm trying to learn hockey. That's all I hear, Clark, is you got to get a hot goalie. That was not the case for the Avs, so I'm thinking, man, I didn't know. I knew I didn't know anything. Now I really don't know anything.
You're on the right mark, and this year was an outlier. You had the best offensive team probably in the history of the game, and I'm talking about Gretzky and Curry and Messier over in Edmonton. I'm talking about the guys out in Philadelphia. I'm talking about the Islanders when they had Trottier and Messier over there, and Clark Gillies and Bobby Nystrom. So many great offensive hockey teams in the history of the game. I'm saying the Avalanche offense last year, probably the deepest, most talented offensive set of players I've ever seen.
Was this the best Stanley Cup team? The Avs have had three of these
now. It's close. It might get better.
It could get better. If Georgiev, which we're all getting his name now, so that's exciting.
Yep.
If he can turn out to be pretty good, then you upgrade at your goalkeeper spot. Imagine this team with... what would you say Kemper was? A C-type goalie if you're giving him a grade?
Yeah, give him a B-minus.
If you can get Georgiev that's a B-plus,
sure.
Or dare we even say A-minus, then this team just got better.
Yeah, I'm not sure that just a B goalie doesn't get it done for the Avs. Because
probably.
It's a ridiculous team. The 18 players that take the ice every night, it's a crazy, crazy group.
Where will Kadri go, in terms of when we talk about Avalanche legends, right? Joe Sakic just continues to grow his legend.
Sure.
Patrick Waugh is one of those guys. Peter Forsberg, Adam Foote, all these fantastic Avs players. Rob Blake. Then you throw Kadri in, who's been solid, but he wasn't with the Avs that long.
Sure.
But he made such a huge... You do it in the playoffs, and you do it at that high level.
Sure.
Especially with some of the drama that was going around, some of the bad... What was it? The St. Louis fans coming at him pretty hard. You had some racist stuff going on there. He overcame all of that. He was fantastic. Is his name... He's not... Our Mount Rushmore.
He's not Sakic, Forsberg, Waugh. He's not that...
But is he one of those memorable guys where you go, that's... That's he will forever live in Colorado Avalanche history and lore.
He'll be one of the Claude Lemieux when he was here. Yeah. Everybody hated Claude, hated him around the league. But of course, when he comes to your team,
we loved him.
Oh, you love him.
Yeah.
That's the Kadri situation. You know, he's an instigator. He's a yip yip yipper in your ear the whole time. He's a guy that has had his share of questionable hits in the NHL.
Even.
Absolutely, he plays for your team. You love him, and I love this is that the Avs fans by the end of the year. The Avs parade and stuff.
Yeah.
Who got some of the biggest cheers?
Oh, it was
Nassim Kadri.
He was probably like, again, you have so many studs on this team. Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, those are your guys. But there is, I mean, it's like the Nuggets, Bones Highland. He's not the two-time MVP, but
right.
He's a fan favorite. People love him. Kadri is the fan favorite. Yep. And again, everything that he did, when you do it at the highest of levels in the playoffs, that changes things. Von Miller didn't become a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame until he had that monster run.
Absolutely.
In the playoffs against the Patriots, against the Panthers and that thing. That's what made him a legend. So he will be kind of a legendary player.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And he'll be going to Calgary. That's the only thing I don't like about this is Calgary is that's a team the Avs have to deal with a bunch.
Yeah.
So, boy, he's right there in their neck of the woods. So it should be interesting.
So I asked you, I had you on last time when the goalie situation came about and they decided to move on from Kemper. Did the Avs get better or worse? And you said you thought the Avs got better.
Yep.
You still feel that way today, that this is a better, perhaps a better team than it was last year?
As long as Super Joe is leading the way, why am I going to knock that?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is just fabulous. I think his knowledge and pulling the trigger on stuff is just fantastic. So we had Pierre Lacroix in the 96 to 2001 range. Thought he was a fantastic GM. And how often do you see players jump in? Yeah, ex-players jump into those roles in the front office and they don't quite get it done. Joe Sakic is killing it right now.
I mean, even as a coach, as a GM, you know, you saw Patrick Waugh and we were real, man, that was like the perfect pairing, wasn't it? Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh. I mean, this was an Avalanche fan's dream to see that.
Sure.
And then it was such a strange ending. And
yeah.
Waugh leaves in August. He just doesn't see eye to eye with Joe anymore. And then they have to go find a guy that's never coached in the NHL before. And he was terrible his first year. And next thing you know, they were building, and becoming a consistent playoff team.
Next thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. That's right. I mean, Jared Bednar comes in, and I said, who?
Oh,
who's that? What?
Yeah.
What?
And now he's a household name.
Yep. I'm sure his bank account looks good right now.
Oh, I think it's right. Yeah, and he's a likable guy, too, so that really helps. But remember
really
this?
Low key, too.
I thought it was crazy because we were talking about the Avs getting past the second round and saying, if they can't do this, are we moving on from Bednar? Is it sure. time? Is he on the hot seat? A lot of Avs fans said yes. He's definitely on the hot seat. And not only do they move past the second round, they do what they do. And now you're talking about him being, you know, right now he's etched his name right in as far as great Avalanches.
But maybe if you think about it, too, and people say, oh, he had the, look at the staff, he got given the golden goose. You've got to, in major league sports, when you have that much talent that deep, sometimes keeping guys happy with playing time and everything that goes into it, that's a big key. You've got to have a coach that knows how to get it done.
I think still, what was it? Was it games? Well, one of those late games in the finals. And he decides to stay with Kemper.
Sure,
and
sure.
There was a lot of debate about should you take Kemper out, should you put Frankie in, and he stood his ground, and that was a defining moment for him, deciding to stay there. And that's a tough coaching decision you have to make, and he made the right one, it turned out.
Yeah, great decision. So for right now, that coaching staff, Joe Sakic at the head of this incredible team, that's going to stay this way for a while.
Clark, you want to stick with us while we do the good, the bad,
sure,
the ugly here?
I love this.
Angel, let's hit it. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good for me is this guy doesn't even have to play, and he's probably going to win a starting quarterback job. Drew Lock gets COVID. He doesn't play. He was supposed to start last night against Chicago. Seattle loses 27-11. Nothing on that. Okay. Geno Smith was pretty rough. He was 10 of 18, 112 yards. His rating was 74. He tripped over nothing, fell down, killed the play. And if you're Drew Law, I mean, Carroll was upset. He was obviously upset about this situation. So, Drew Locke made progress to start
by not playing.
And I'm not, you know, I take COVID seriously and all that, but if I'm Drew Locke, I'm going into that locker room today and I'm licking Geno Smith's locker. I'm rubbing all over it. I'm coughing. And then I'm giving him COVID so he has that chance. I'm still very curious to see what Seattle does. Yes, that's the good. It's Drew Locke. The bad, of course, Clark and I digested it a bit. Nazem Kadri is left. He signed a 7-year deal, $49 million with Calgary. So he's gone. A fan favorite for sure, but my guy Clark's saying, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. And Joe, we trust. As for the ugly, the Rockies lose 13-0. Albert Pujols launched a big-time grand, a pinch grand slam in this. Drove in 5 runs. He was sensational. And this thing got ugly.
Albert hits it out to deep left. It is gone! It's a grand slam! 690!
I mean, wow. That was insane. Even Jerry Schimmel's like, I'm just glad I got to be a part of that situation. It was 13-0. Hope you took the overs in that because it changed throughout the game, of course. 13-0, St. Louis beats the Rockies. 51-69 now. And that's it. 25 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Clark, my man, love listening to you. Love what you're putting together. This season's going to be fantastic. I cannot wait. I mean, I love the training camp coverage, but I'm ready for some game coverage.
Yeah, it's like the kids after they've been hitting their own teammates for 3 weeks. Let's go hit somebody else right now.
Football is back. I'm excited. So what time do you get rolling tonight?
Tonight we'll be on right at 7 o'clock. We'll have basically for an hour and a half, 2 hours, we'll be talking to a bunch of coaches, and we won't get players tonight because they'll be scrimmaging, but coaches from the Severance staff. We'll get Cora Lanter, the AD, on again. We're going to have folks from the town of Severance. It's Severance Day. It's a big thing. Don't forget tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Do you know where they're having the
somewhere in Severance.
Is it at Bruce's?
Or no, it's outside. No, it part is. Of their, okay. Their festival that they're doing.
The all-you-can-eat, you know what, Rocky Mountain
Oyster. Rocky Mountain Oyster Challenge. Are you going out there?
I'm going to be there. Yeah.
I'm going to try to stop by. All right, Clark, thanks, man. Always appreciate you, dude.
Yep, appreciate it.
26 minutes after 11 o'clock, we're going to take a short break. Yes, the Drew Locke thing is very much alive. You guys, Broncos country, don't like to hear about it, but it's true. We're also going to have Joel Cantalamessa, who heads up Ram Nation. And I was at a wonderful event last night where Joe Parker spoke to diehard fans. Love that kind of stuff. So we'll digest that as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the latest news on the Rockies with Rockies Rundown hosted by Jerry Schemmel and Tanner Schwint. Thursdays at 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1, 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-one minutes after 11 o'clock, No Limit Collectibles this Saturday. Going to be a great event going on, a big trade night that Mr. Ken Yamada, the owner of No Limit Collectibles, is hosting tomorrow at No Limit, right where Cables is, Wes Greeley, all that, starting at 5:30. So you got stuff? You want to trade cards? Bring it in. Start working around. There's going to be a lot of people there. Trade, buy, sell, you do it. It's going to be fantastic. 5:30 till 9:30. Free pizza, drinks. People can come in for free. They can sell, buy, and trade at the shop. So maybe you got that collection you've been looking at going, I wonder if I could get something for this. Well, there's going to be a lot of like-minded people there. Looking to maybe buy your stuff, or maybe you're looking for inexpensive ways to add to your collection. That's No Limit Collectibles. We'll be telling you more and more about that event coming up this Saturday, tomorrow at 5:30 until 9:30. Free pizza and drinks. It's the No Limit Collectibles trade night. 32 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to have Joel Cantalamessa join me in just a moment. He's one of my great friends. He is the Good Shepherd. That's what they call him on Ram Nation, where thousands of Rams fans come together, talk trash, talk about the games, preview it all. Had a heck of an event last night with Joe Parker doing a Q&A. So I'm going to talk about that next with Joel. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show. Wait, The Whole Show? What is this, a show about boats? Anyway, it's here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You know, there is actually a whole show in, like, South Carolina or something. It's a boat show. The whole boats, right? I'd love to get out there for that. That'd be great marketing for me. Do a show from there. Nobody would know what I'm talking about, but I think it'd be fantastic. 37 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, great friend of mine, Joel Cantalamessa. He is the digital marketer, writer, and founder of RamNation.com, a wonderful outlet where Rams fans from all over the place, maybe even South Carolina, join in and talk about the Rams. I love it. Joel, my man, thank you so much for giving me some time today.
Hey, buddy. It was great to see you last night. Good to talk to you today.
What a great event. So I wanted to get more specifics. You honored me by inviting me out to this event where a lot of diehard Rams fans were, an opportunity to talk to Athletic Director Joe Parker, a Q&A set up. I mean, what an awesome event, and more of a personal venue, too. I mean, it wasn't speaking to thousands. It was more of a, hey, we're hanging out here, having a couple of beers, listening to Joe Parker. Joel, how did this come about, man? Because I know you have a great connection with Joe. You talk to him once a month on Ram Nation, and I love that interview. You do such a great job with that. But how did this whole thing come about?
Well, just to give you a little background, I mean, the first of all, Joe is the one that really suggested doing our once a month interview podcast. So it's not me, not us begging him to come on. He actually is really good about trying to be in front of fans. So I love that about him. He's more than gracious to give us time. And when he comes on, I mean, we talk for almost an hour every month. So we get in depth with him and ask him stuff that, you know, he actually answers the best he can, doesn't often skirt around too much. So it's great. But this particular event, we used to do them through former athletic directors dating back to Tim Weiser, Jeff Hathaway, Paul Kowalczyk, and we haven't done one since then. We didn't do one with Jack Graham, and have not yet done one with Joe. But, you know, I just got thinking about it. Joe loves to do stuff like this. He's asked us in the past. You know, we live down in Parker, which is a good hour and a half from Fort Collins, and he's come down. He said, hey, I'll come down anytime you want to get 5-10 guys together, and I'll just hang out with you guys. We'll drink beer and answer questions. And, you know, it's not about huge numbers for him. He likes to make connections and relationships with people, and he saw this as an opportunity to where he could get in front of a smaller group in a nice little setting at Ginger and Baker, and he was great. You know, he just basically was an open forum for people to ask questions, and they fired away and he answered.
I just think that, and I like the smaller numbers too, because I feel like it is more personable. Joe was mingling and talking to Rams fans and folks that are certainly contributors, if we want to call them that, to Ram Nation. They're constantly on there chatting, and I love it. You've allowed me to do so much through that process as well, through that format, and it's helped me connect with Rams fans. So, man, I love it. I think it's such a unique thing where Rams fans can really come together, and again, to hear from Joe and then to hear him last night. I just absolutely love that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's real open. You know, I think that he gets a bad rap from some of our fans. I think that, you know, he owns it. There's decisions that you have to make as an athletic director, and some work and some don't. And I think there were a couple in particular that related to the football program and in coaching extensions, contract extensions, and then the Adazio hire, that neither of those worked out, and those were, it was a really bad time for coaches to not work out, considering all the realignment, you know, and the momentum that we kind of needed at a very important time in this new world of college football. And so he takes a lot of heat for that. And when he gets asked about it, you know, he owns it. He does own it. And when people say, why aren't we in a Pac-12 or the Big 12 by now, you know, he basically will say it's on me because we have not been good enough in football during this period. And at the end of the day, we also need, you know, our fans to take a leap of faith, and they need to support this program through thick and thin, because when a Big 12 is looking at you and you're not bringing the eyeballs that they want as far as, you know, being attractive to your media contracts, then you're not going to be considered. So he's always preaching that we really need our fans. And, you know, I think some people realize that he's right. And other people would be like, well, we would be there if you win a little bit more. So there's always a love hate. I think some people have with Joe, but I think he's always been fantastic with us at Ram Nation. I think he's done a lot of good things as an athletic director for sure.
We had a chance to talk to him a couple of weeks ago. Always love those interviews. But again, I think this format lends itself to opening up a bit more of an intimate type of situation. Can you give me any of the questions that stood out last night? Because I had to duck out a little bit earlier than I would have liked. But, you know, you said it. He's talking about the big picture stuff, the big conference stuff. What stood out to you as far as maybe some questions and maybe some of his responses to those questions?
Yeah, so a couple of the ones, you know, I don't know if you know Tyler Shannon. He's a longtime Ram Nation guy. He's always well versed in conference realignment and very active on our website and on Twitter, and great fan. But he had asked Joe what Joe is proud of during his tenure, and then, you know, what he wishes he would have done better so far during his 7 years at CSU. And you know, Joe went on and on about how much he loves his place and has really enjoyed his 7 years. He's got a new 5-year contract. He wants to be there even longer beyond that. He basically said during this, you know, the rest of his years, he wants to continue to build an athletic department where they're, for one, giving top-notch experiences to student athletes, but also to be winning championships regularly in all sports, was kind of what he said. He said in particular to football, he wants to see winning bowl games, competing in a New Year's bowl game or two, you know, doing that on occasion, and basically becoming the top G5, group of five school in a university that is talked about nationally. So, you know, he pointed out the strides that are made in a lot of the Olympic sports. There's been championships there. Obviously, they've fallen short in football, and that was his response to where he has fallen short. So he said, yes, it's on me. We have not been good in football for a long time now. He also did point out that in CSU's history, there's not a huge tradition of sustained winning, and that he's trying to change that. You know, he pointed out that of all the coaches in the last, I don't know, however many, 50 years, there was only one that got out of here unscathed and went on to a better opportunity, and that was Jim McElwain. Mm. Everyone else was fired, you know, so which is interesting. So he's trying to change that culture, but, you know, he did point out that, you know, we've made all the necessary investments in football, but just really haven't found the winning formula yet. He does think that all the signs are there for having the right coaching staff in place and the right culture being built. So he believes that there are good things to come. He says his goal is to play at the highest level, meaning to position themselves to be in a Power 5 conference someday. But he did acknowledge that he better get going fast with football. So then related to conference realignment, he's mentioned a little bit, a lot of this on our podcast over the recent months. But, you know, he said that whole, and I heard him actually talk to you about this, but he said that the conference realignment game is being played at a level that's above CSU at the moment. You know, the Big Ten and the SEC are pulling all the strings, and the dominoes are falling based on that. And then, you know, obviously everyone's got an eye on the Big 12 and the Pac-12 right now, trying to figure out what they want to do. And they're really looking to pluck from each other. So trying to see who blinks first. So they're looking at that first before really taking a look at Mountain West schools or in CSU in particular. But he pointed out that, you know, in the previous, you know, what was it, 6 years ago, the Big 12 did a review. They asked for, they allowed a 1-hour Zoom call. They allowed us to submit information, and what the Big 12 was looking for, Joe said, the two main things were obviously on-field success, and not just success, but sustained success through multiple coaching changes. And then equally as important is you got to have a program that can deliver eyeballs, it delivers the TV, the market, and fan following. And he said, unfortunately, we fell short in both of those categories, and that's why that CSU was not on the list when they decided, when the Big 12 decided to add Cincinnati, Houston, BYU, and UCF last year. But what was interesting, you know, what was interesting about it, he says that we weren't that far off. He says we were close, and he believes that if the Big 12 had considered expanding by more than four teams, we may have had a shot. So that was interesting. It really makes you cringe when you think about the missed opportunities of our football program for way too long now.
No question. And I mean, it did feel like with Mike Bobo in those, what, first three seasons, that was when a lot of this talk was ramping up and you were thinking, okay, well, at least you're going to bowl games. Now you need to take that next step. The extension was made. We all know how that went down. I think it's an interesting spot for Joe to be in. Even I was reading a piece from the Denver Post with Jay Norvell talking about wanting so much to go to these big conferences. It is a fine line to walk because you want to take care of the Mountain West. They're great. We love it here, but we have bigger goals in mind. That, to me, is walking a very fine line.
Well, I think if you ask Craig Thompson, the Mountain West commissioner, and he mentions this all the time. He's like, look, we fully understand that our universities have to look out for what's best for them. Do we want everybody to stay with us and be loyal to us? Of course. But if there's conferences out there that are willing to are going to be able to quadruple the money that you're bringing in on a monthly basis, on an annual basis, through these massive TV contracts, there's no way anyone's going to possibly turn that down. So he's aware of that. And so I don't necessarily think that by Jay Norvell or Joe Parker saying that it's a goal to play at the highest level and you know, we want to position ourselves for a P5 school conference, I don't think there's any harm in that. But I do see that, you know, CSU, we did our part in the early 2000s when the Mountain West was originally formed, and we were a powerhouse in football, and we're winning conference championships regularly there, and we were on national TV all the time and ESPN, and we were the darling, the national darling, and that's obviously been, what, 18 years since our last conference championship in football, and you would just like CSU to just take those initial steps and worry about winning at home, winning our conference, you know, and letting everything else fall where it may. And I think that's really the, quite honestly, that's Joe's approach. I think that's what he believes. We need to take care of our own conference and win our conference and start dominating our conference, and then everything else take care of itself. But when he gets asked about, you know, conference realignment and where we stand, he has to answer it. So I think that they're both diplomatic in how they're saying it, and I think that the Mountain West is not getting hurt feelings over, you know, San Diego State or Boise State or CSU or anyone else saying, hey, we want to play at the highest level. It's just, there's just too many dollars at stake, you know?
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's how it is. It's how college football is now. Joel, my man, I absolutely love these conversations with you. We got to do it more once we get into the season, too, because love what you're doing. I loved being a part of it. The fact that I was there was great. And again, I thank you so much because we connect with a lot of our Rams listeners through your site. We put our podcast out there and everything, our poll questions. So, man, I just appreciate you so much allowing us time to tool around on RamNation.com.
Well, we appreciate what you do. I mean, I know you have access to our site, and you're able to post to all the CSU-related segments, which is hugely important for our fans. And what a great thing that is. And you know what? There's a lot of segments on there because you talk a lot of CSU athletics. And as a Ram fan, I can't thank you enough. We appreciate that. I love the radio medium, and I really appreciate all the time you give for CSU.
Yeah, no question, man. Appreciate you. And let's catch up soon. I didn't get to hang out as long as I wanted to, so let's make that happen in the next couple of weeks.
We will, buddy. We will.
All right, my man. Joel Cantalamessa of RamNation.com. I just thought that was important to get out there because I think that that is a wonderful opportunity for Joe Parker to essentially talk to these fans in an intimate setting. And I think he does this a lot. I think he does. He wants to get out. Joel just said it. He reaches out to Joel and says, I want to do a monthly podcast to really get out there to those Rams fans. 11:52 the time. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Five minutes until the 12 o'clock hour. We got the lunch rush coming up in a few minutes. My top story surrounding the sports world. So we always get into that. We got today in the NFL coming up and so much more. Broncos camp yesterday was a little interesting. Again, from what I've read and heard and everything, the defense kind of wins the day. They're just absolutely dominating the offense. And defensively, from, again, what I'm told, they were kind of talking some trash. Like, they were getting into this offense, and maybe Russell didn't kind of stand up and get after it and go back at him. It was more or less just a, we got to be better, guys, or whatever. But it was like the defense just almost, dare I say this, bullying the offense yesterday. Is this a case where, and again, without me being there, we can only give you so much, where Russell Wilson, you want to see him buck up to these guys and almost talk a little trash back, or we just kind of know that that's not his game? What do you think, Angel?
I think it's definitely interesting from what Tanner has told me about Russell Wilson. This may not be the most expected thing of him to do. Maybe he goes in there and, hey, guys, kumbaya, let's go, let's be friends. We're all friends here.
It works
on the
sometimes,
same team.
Right? But not all the time.
Yeah, well, in the heat of practice, you never know. Tempers are flaring. Guys are fighting for positions, fighting for jobs. It's intense.
There's just so many different personalities in the league, so many different quarterback personalities, and not all of them are going to buck up. I'll tell you what, though. You think Peyton Manning's going to let the defense come in and bully? Like, they were approaching their huddles and, like, talking trash while they're in the huddles and stuff, and they were going at it, John. You think Manning's going to let them talk while he's in the huddle? I don't think so, man.
I don't think so, but, you know, defenses tend to have a little bit of an upper hand on the offense in practice because they kind of know what they're running.
True.
And
yep,
you can joke around with them a little bit, but the offense, they know they got to go to work.
Yeah. Well, I'll get into more of that story coming up on the other side. The lunch rush right around the corner. Some tough stories in the NFL and also a big TV deal coming out of the Big Ten. We'll talk about that more on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.